Okay, today is a late Heir. Today is
a belated
Heir.
Sorry, according to Sam, it's still Heir.
According to Sam.
According to Sam.
So in honor of Eretz Yisrael, I want to share with you a few ideas relating to the Kedushas Haaretz. A few short ideas. Okay, the first idea, these are little mini Vertlach. First Yisoid is a beautiful mimer. There's a beautiful set of Svarim from Rav Mordechai Breuer. Everyone familiar with Rav Mordechai Breuer?
No,
I think he lived there at Yisrael. No, not Pichospor. No.
He's the son of some rebbe.
No. He has a set of svarim called Pirkei Moadim. He has Maimorim on Chumash. The very, very profound, the very long. And he has a maim about the Avos and Eretz Yisrael. It's a very long piece. It's very hard for me to absorb all of the information. But the one he saw jumped out at me, which I think is something very that we can relate to. Hashem promised Eretz Yisrael to the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And we all over in the Torah, over and over, Hashem says, Avraham, this is the land I'm going to give you. And makes promises that your seed will be like the Afar Ha'aretz, and again to Yitzchak and to Yaakov, and there are shinuyim in the nusach of the brach of the Haftacha. What exactly is this all about? Why is there a special Haftacha Avraham, Haftacha to Yitzchak, Haftacha to Yaakov, and different nuschos? What's going on? So he says there are three different ways we relate to Eretz Yisrael. When Hashem promised the land to Avraham, his avoda was lech lecha, to go to the land for the very first time. Avraham was not born in Eretz Yisrael. Avraham was born in Ur Kasdim. Hashem says to Avraham, you know, there's a land, you've never seen it. Let me describe it to you. Let me tell you about it. Lech lecha, me'artzecha, me'oladcha, me'esavicha lo el ha'aretz asher areka. Go. That itself is an experience. Yitzchak was born in the land. And Yitzchak, in fact, wanted to leave Eretz Yisrael because there was a famine. Yitzchak was told, don't leave. Remain in the land. Make the best out of the situation. This is your land. This land I've promised to your father and to you and to your children. Remain in the land. Yaakov was exiled from the land. Yaakov had no choice but to flee. Yaakov had to go because of Esav wanted to kill him. He ran away to marry Rachel and Leah. He had children in Ramna Harayim, where his grandfather came from. The avod of Yaakov Avinu was to return to the land. You know what it's all about. You've been there. You know what it is. You have not lived there most of your life, or at least the significant portion that the Torah describes. The avoda of Yaakov is to return to Eretz Yisrael. So these are the three different aspects, the three different forms of avoda of Eretz Yisrael. To go to Eretz Yisrael, to live in Eretz Yisrael, and to return to Eretz Yisrael. And he writes in history, Klal Yisrael has found themselves in these three matzavim as a whole. First, in Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim. We grew up and we developed in Mitzrayim. The avoda was Yitzias. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was to do what? Was to go and conquer Eretz Yisrael, to take possession. To take possession of Eretz Yisrael during the time of Yeshua, and all the Shoftim. This was to take possession. And then, during the time of David, once the land was established in their hands, in Tarshon HaMelech, and during the entire time of the 410 years of the Bayis Rishon, was the Tekufa of Yitzchak, of to live in the land. This was the Tekufa, and then, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Rishon, due to the Chatoim, they were exiled to Chutz Liaretz, and basically since that time, since the Churban, the Bayis Rishon, even though there was a Bayis Sheni, because during this Zman Ezra only a very small amount of Klal Yisrael returned, since the Churban Bayis Rishon, we are still in the third Kufa of return to the land. You know what it's about. It's in your blood. You have the Torah, you have Nevi'im, you have Ksuvim, you know what it's all about. You're living now in a tkufa of returning to the land. So you have Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. In Jewish history, there are three tkufos of the tkufa of Avraham, the tkufa of Yitzchak, the tkufa of Yaakov. And the truth is, on a personal level, every single person has these three different relationships with the land. Because every person, to some degree, there are parts of Eretz Yisrael, or there are dimensions of Eretz Yisrael that you have not yet experienced. You have to go. You got to see what it's all about. Every person, every time you go to Eretz Yisrael, you learn something new. You never appreciated what it's all about. What does it mean to live in Eretz Yisrael? There's always a darg of Avraham in every single person, an avod of Avraham, of Lech Lecha. And then, there are things that we are familiar. Every person visited Eretz Yisrael, you do have some appreciation of what it's all about. You have to maintain your relationship. Every single person has within him an assayin of Yitzchak to maintain and to live and to develop, to nurture what you already possess about Eretz Yisrael. And then there is a degree of Yaakov in every person. From what we study from Tanakh, what we know, but we have not yet returned to, there are things that we relate to, and we have to return to Hashava, that also we have within us an avoda within us to fulfill that relationship to Eretz Yisrael, Begeder Yaakov Avinu. So this is the gist of his idea. He develops this and he takes this idea to explain the nuances of expression, why when it came to Avraham did he say Afaretz, Yitzchak it says Kechovim, the Goy Haoretz, Mishpachos Haamim. There are a lot of Shinuyim. He goes through all the various Shinuyim in the way the Avos related to the land of the Haftochos that Hashem promised the Avos, all with this Yisod. There are three different aspects of Eretz Yisrael. Lech Lecha, to go, to live in Eretz Yisrael, and to return to Eretz Yisrael. Hachut HaMeshulash Loi B'Meher Yinotek is true in the history of Klal Yisrael, and it's true for us on a personal level. Okay, let's go to another short idea. I saw this following idea in the Sefer Higyoinei Halacha. Many people are very familiar with the Sefer. It's the name of the Mechaber is Rabbi Mirsky. I don't remember his first name at this moment. He wrote a number of Svarim, all called Hegyoine Halacha, Thoughts in Halacha, and the very popular Svarim. In fact, they've even been translated into English. They're so popular. All published also Haggadah. And he has a section in the second volume about Eretz Yisrael, and he points out. The difference between the kibush rish and the kibush sheni. We all familiar according to the Rambam. Kedusha rishayna kitsha l'shaita v'loy kitsha l'asilava. The kedusha that Yoshua and Klal Yisrael invested in the land when they came for the very first time only remained while they possessed the land. After the Churban Bayis, after the first exile, the kedusha was bottled to some degree. It was only reinstated the time of Ezra. When Ezra repossessed the land during the time of the Bayis Sheni, the land was given sanctity once again, and that sanctity to a certain degree was greater than the original sanctity. It was Kitsha L'Shaita, V'Kitsha L'Ased Lava. So the question is why? Why did the Tkuf of the Bayis Sheni, did it merit that its Kedusha, the area, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael during the time of the Bayis Sheni, has a permanent Kedusha, whereas the Kedusha of the Bayis Rishon, which seemingly they were much greater people, this was during the time of the Nevi'im, why was it less? So he presents two reasons, two very interesting reasons, one from the Meshech Chochma, and one from Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik. So the first from the Meshech Chochma is that being that the first Kedusha was of a greater status, it was during the time of the Nevi'im, it's more sensitive, and therefore it's susceptible to Churban. And he gives an example from the Torah, from the law of a Kohenes versus a Leviya. From the two groups, which group has more Kedusha? Kohanim or Leviyim? Certainly Kohanim. Kohanim have more Kedusha. They do the Avodah based on Megdash. Leviyim have Kedusha, but to a lesser degree. What happens if a Bas Kohen is Nivala? She is defiled. Is she allowed to eat truma? Does she lose her rights? A bas kohenes a bas kohen, a kohenes, she becomes a halal, right? She becomes, if she's in nivala, she becomes a halal. Under certain, okay, I don't know the exact details, I'm getting confused, but under certain circumstances, you can, if you would match up a kohenes, a bas kohen, with a bas levi, in certain circumstances where they're married and they have a relationship with someone else, the punishment and the consequences to a bas kohen are much, much more severe than the consequences to a bas levi. Why? It's because she has more kedusha. Being that she has more kedusha, she's more susceptible, she's more sensitive. The higher you go, the lower you fall. The responsibility of being a bas kohen is very great. If you ruin it, nivala, she's an eshes ish, she has relations with another man, she becomes a halala, she loses rights in truma. She's susceptible to damaging her kedusha. A bas levi is not on that madrega. So if she would do exactly the same thing, it doesn't make a difference. She can still receive the ma'aserishon, the ma'aserishon, that her rights, advantages that she has due to her kedusha will not be taken away if she violates her kedusha. Why? Because it's a lesser kedusha. It's a lesser kedusha. You can't do that much damage. So the Meshech Chacham explains exactly the same thing with Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, the kedusha was showing a kitchel l'shaita v'loy kitchel l'shalavo, is because the kedusha was so intense. It was established by the Nevi'im, established by the greatest people. It was such an intense kedusha. It was susceptible to churban, and that's why when the bayis was charav, the kedusha went away. Unfortunately, the kedusha of the bayis sheni was not as intense. It was like a bas levi. Therefore, that kedusha remains with us forever. There's nothing we can possibly do to take away that kedusha. Kedusha shnei kitchel shaita v'kitchel la'asalala. This is the approach of the Meshech Chachma. Then he presents a beautiful idea from Soloveitchik, which is very practical for us, halacha l'maisa. He says a very big difference in how they sanctified the land. When Yeshua came to conquer Eretz Yisrael, what was first? What did they conquer first? First, they conquered the land. They crossed the Yarden, and they seized the land little by little. They fought one. There were 31 kings. They conquered one city at a time. Yericho, Ai, this battle, that battle. It was a very slow process, and they conquered going from the outside in. It took 440 years until finally David HaMelech came along and conquered Yerushalayim and bought. The place of the Beis HaMikdash, which also involved a lot of negotiations and wars and battles, and to finally sanctify the Mokom HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, and to build the Beis HaMikdash. The conquest was from outside working your way in. When Ezra returned, what did he come back to? He came back to a land that was Shamim. What, he conquered a little city by city? Straight to Yerushalayim. The first thing was the Beis HaMikdash.
It was there, right?
The first was to bring karbanos. They put up curtains. Then they fixed the Beis HaMikdash. Then came Nehemiah. They made walls. And then they began to develop the land. They conquered from inside going out. An amazing horror. A beautiful horror. You can live your whole life without becoming aware of this difference between this observation. The difference between Yoshua and Ezra. So that's the difference. When you start with Kedusha and you expand outwards, the Kedusha is so intense, it doesn't go away. When you start from the outside and you try to work your way inside, it's not the same. It goes away. It's not. It's a different daraga. The Musa Haskell is to learn from the Kedusha Asar. It's Bezman Hazeh, we live in the Eretz, it's Kodesh. It's because the Kedusha, we focus on what's Kodesh. When you focus on what's Kodesh and you build outwards, that will remain with you forever. If you're going to start with Chol and try to work your way in, it's not the same. Easy come, easy go. Very interesting idea. Okay, I'm doing Makatzer, but it's a powerful idea from Rav Yehoshua Soloveitchik to define the difference, the Kedusha Asaris of Yeshua and Ezra. Okay, let me go to another idea, short ideas. Who was the one who gave us the Torah? Very quick. Who was the one who gave us the Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu, it's Taras Moshe. He brought down the Torah. Who gave us Eretz Yisrael? Not Moshe. Yeshua. Yeshua was the one who brought us into the land. What is the relationship between Moshe and Yeshua? Moshe, this is also from Rav Mirsky.
A Rav and a Talmud.
Moshe was the Rebbe, Yeshua is the Talmud. Who's in charge? Who is in charge? Is the Rebbe in charge or is the Talmud in charge? The Rebbe is in charge. The Rebbe, he's the balabas. The Rebbe is in charge. The Talmud is the student.
Assuming they're alive at the same time.
Okay, fine. But either way, you always follow. You always have them serve your Rebbe. So Rav Mirsky says it's a very powerful mussar. That's how we have two gifts Hashem gave us. Hashem gave us the gift of Torah, and Hashem gave us the gift of Eretz Yisrael. Which one dictates the rules of the other? Is the reality of the land going to tell us how to live, how to deal with the Torah? Or is the Torah going to tell us how to live? It sounds like a political speech. He said this, this is the second volume. He must have written this probably in the 80s, or maybe the early 90s of Mirsky.
He was in YU?
Yeah. I think he's a YU. He's a very, very, very popular sefer.
I have half of that set.
Are we talking about David Mirsky?
I'm not sure. I remember his first name. Higyoine Halacha. It's a very, very powerful vart. Who is in charge? Who calls the shots? The Rebbe calls the shots. And the Talmud falls into place. Moshe gave us the Torah. Yeshua gave us Eretz Yisrael. And that is a musa, that is a mashal, it's a symbol that the Torah is what sets the rules for the land. Not the reality of the land telling the Torah how it should conduct itself, how it should limit itself or deal. The rules are established by the...
But you see this by Shemitah. If you'll keep Shemitah, then the land will feed you.
The Torah sets the rules for the land, not that the land sets the rules for the Torah. Okay, let's go to another vart. Let's go to benching. If you really want to learn about Eretz Yisrael, the first place to start is the second brach in benching of No Delecha. No Delecha Hashem Elokim, be medayik in all the lashonis of the second bracha, and that's No Delecha Hashem Elokim al shenchalto la'avoseinu Eretz Chemda Toivo Ruchava. Now, first of all, I forgot to mention why there are three words: Chemda, Toivo Ruchava. This ties in very well into what Rav Breuer said, that there are three different aspects to Eretz Yisrael. There's the Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. To go to Eretz Yisrael, to live in Eretz Yisrael, and to return to Eretz Yisrael. I saw independently from the Sinel Mepharish, the reason why there are three words, these three words correspond to the Shlosh Avos. Chemda corresponds to Avraham, Toiva corresponds to Yitzchak, and Ruchava corresponds to Yaakov. Why there are three different praises, three different words used to praise Eretz Yisrael? Al shenchal talav is Eretz chemda toivo rechava. Chemda is a word that refers to something that you don't know about. You have yet to discover. Okay, there's a pasuk. I don't know if all the pasukim, but chemda is a term that fits very well with the relationship that Avraham had with the land. Chemda. It's a desirable place. I have not yet possessed it, but I've heard about it. Hashem has promised it to me. It's Eretz Chemda. Toiva is a term that refers to Yitzchak. Yitzchak is living in the land, and now the avodah is to make the land into an Eretz Toiva, into a good land. Ruchava refers to Yaakov, La'as Lavan, when we return, will be a Nachala B'li Mitzarim, an inheritance without any boundaries. These three words, Chemda, Toiva, Ruchava, correspond to the Gimel Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, especially if it's with Rabbi Breuer, the three different ways of looking at Eretz Yisrael. Okay, one last quick vart. I think this is a very powerful vart. Look at benching. We have four brachas. From the four brachas, two of them refer to Eretz Yisrael. The second bracha refers to the whole Eretz Yisrael. Al nodil chashem lachin val shenchal talav asinu Eretz Chemda Toivo Urechava. The third bracha refers specifically to Yerushalayim. That's not what we're focusing on. Yerushalayim is a wonderful, is one city in Eretz Yisrael, the Mokim Hashuas Hashem, the Mokim Beis HaMikdash. And we have in the Birchas HaMazon an entire bracha dedicated to Yerushalayim. Rachem Hashem Elokeinu al Yisrael Mecha v'al Yerushalayim Yirecha. And the bracha concludes, Uvinei Yerushalayim Yirecha Yedesh Mber V'yameinu. But here's the question. This question, I have Ashkenazi asked this question, and he develops it on his own way, in a very beautiful way, but I want to just focus on the question instead of the answer, instead of his answer. Why is it that when it comes to Yerushalayim, the entire bracha are all bakashas? Rachim, Hashem, please have compassion upon Yerushalayim, upon Tzion, upon David, Re'enu, Zunenu, can go on all different things. Then we request at the end, Uvene Hashem, please rebuild, Uvene Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, B'mheir of Yameinu. The entire brach from beginning to end is established when we talk to Yerushalayim, we want something from you, Hashem. We're begging you to rebuild it, to have compassion, to do things in Yerushalayim. Whereas the second bracha, when we focus on Eretz Yisrael as a whole, there is no request whatsoever. It is pure praise. No delicha. We thank you, and we thank you. Al shem chalto lavul seinu eretz chemda tovur chava. What would have hurt if we would insert into the nodelcha, like we say in the Harachamans, Harachaman who what would have hurt if we would have inserted into the bracha, the primary bracha of Eretz Yisrael, a bakasha? Hashem, have rachmanis on Eretz Yisrael. There are so many problems in Eretz Yisrael. You can't deny the fact that there are so many things that need to be solved. There are difficulties. Why only when we focus on Yerushalayim are we mevakesh rachmanos? But we're not mevakesh any rachmanos on Eretz Yisrael as a whole. We just give nothing but shavach v'hoida. Halay davar? It's a very good question. This Rav Ashkenazi asked this question. He has an answer. I want to suggest a very simple answer. What's the makar for the four brachos of Birchas Hamazon? The makar for the four brachos of Birchas Hamazon, the pasuk v'yachalta v'sivata uveirach le'et Hashem Elokecha. Chazal say that is Birchas Hazon. Al ha'oretz ha'toiva asher nosam al-oretz ha'toiva is Eretz Yisrael. Ha'toiva, the word Yerushalayim, as ha'toiva asher nosam loch, that refers to the four, the remes, the three brachos of the rice, the four brachos of the rabbanon, there may be some remes, but the point is, the makar for the bracha of Eretz Sholaz ala oretz, and the makar for Yerushalayim is toiva. What is toiv? There's something called toiv, and there's something called loy toiv. Loy toiv, heyos, adam lava toiv, by definition means good. Toiv, according to Chazal, means Yerushalayim. But Yerushalayim can be good, and it can be in a matzah, that's loy toiv. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Hashuas HaShchina, there's no Avoda, it's lo tov. The fact that the Torah refers to Yerushalayim as toiva forces us to come to terms with the reality that it has to be toiva. And if it's not toiva, then we have to do something. We have to make a bakasha. Hashem wants this from us. Because He told us, I want you to thank me for the land that's good. If it's not good, then we have to do something to make it good. But when Hashem demands, and this is a powerful Moshe Haskel, when Hashem demands of us that we thank Him, there's no conditions. It is unconditional love, unconditional hoida. Thank Hashem al ha'oretz, for the land. Whether it's there are problems, or there are no problems, there are solutions, there are no solutions. When Hashem is telling us, when you come to appreciate Yerushalayim, it has to be an appreciation that's toiva. And if it's not good, so you know what? You're not mechuyev to thank me. Instead, pray to me that it should be good. But when I demand of you to appreciate the gift of Eretz Yisrael, that you have an Eretz Yisrael, don't come to me with complaints. Hey, here. Don't come to me and complain, oh, we have this problem and that problem and this is no good and that's no good. I want your love and your hoidah and your appreciation to be unconditional. Al ha'oretz! Yerushalayim? Toiva. If it's not toiva, okay, we'll deal with it. But the land, Eretz Yisrael, Ha'aretz, that's why we don't dare make any request in the second bracha. It's pure noy deluch Hashem Elokeinu. Al shem chalto la'avosinu Eretz chemda toivu rechava. I don't see any problems. There's nothing to discuss. V'yala kol Hashem Elokeinu anachnu. We repeat ourselves. Nachnu moidim lach. Unconditional.
This is Taichtal.
Okay, let's not get into politics.
It's
I know, say, of course. But it's a very fascinating contrast between the two brachas, and l'chayr it's rooted in the pasuk, and the mussar is how to deal with Eretz Yisrael.